Blog Talk Radio.
Glory
the views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
Glory to God in the highest. We praise and magnify the Lord today for his goodness and for his merciful kindness. Thanking God for just another opportunity this first Sunday of the new the year February. And we're grateful for God's goodness to allow us to see this year is moving along pretty good. And we're just grateful today. We thank God today. You're listening to Covenant Thinking. eWater Radio Show, KEWRDB. At the top of the hour, amen, we're beginning our show. We're thanking God for his goodness and just for, like I said, another day. I pray that God's blessings have reached you in your home, your families, wherever you are. We are extending the love of God, the love of Christ to you on today. Amen. We just want to take a time out to share the word of God with you if we can. Amen. Just something that we want to impart and share. We realize that so many individuals are experiencing different things in life, and there's so much that's taking place in the body of Christ, in the church on today. Amen. And is that the place to where we wonder what's really going on? We see fighting and upsetness and violence in the streets. We see men and women against one another, as the Bible declared that men will be against women and fathers against sons, sons against fathers, and mothers against daughters. And we see that not only has affected the secular world or our families as a whole, but it also has found its way into the church. The Bible lets us know that we have to be watchful and prayerful at all times. That's why the Word of God constantly encourages us to pray. Amen. Men ought to always to pray and not faint. There is a need and a necessity for prayer today, and for the body of Christ to come together, join forces, and pray. That's where the enemy is attacking. We have individuals fighting so to the point where the world is looking at the body of Christ. The world is looking at the people of God, those that call themselves Christians. And they are really seeing something that they should not be seeing when it comes to the representation of Christ that the church is supposed to bring and have. They're saying that if the church is fighting, if the bishops are fighting, if the evangelists are fighting and the women of God and the pastors are fighting, then there's no need. I have no use to go myself. There's no need for me to even be bothered if this is what they're doing in the churches. But we've got to come to a place as the body of Christ to realize that, as the scripture says, that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. And my warfare or my fight is not with you. The scripture tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. My fight, my brother or my sister, is not with you. Your fight is not with me. The flesh gets in the way, and if we are available to the enemy, he will use us as instruments, as tools. He will use our flesh as weapons or as vessels to do his dirt. Scripture encourages us, as I said before, to pray. In our praying and in our seeking God's word and staying before the Lord, that keeps us at a place to be protected and shielded from the use of the adversary. Amen. The devil will use whomsoever he will or whomsoever is available to him. The Bible says that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And my brothers and my sisters, if we are not praying and reading God's word, trust and believe, we are open for the enemy to come in and to drop little nuggets or little devices and plots and plans and schemes, evil thoughts in our mind and in our spirit. And if you dwell on a thing long enough in your mind and you think on a thing long enough in your mind, you will begin to ponder it. And once you begin to ponder on that thing and dwell on that thing, it will become a part of you. And it will dwindle down and take a hold of your heart or get into your spirit, man. And we have to be so careful of our soul and our spirit, man, to protect our soul and our spirit. We have to be careful. So I want to encourage you today, just on a passage of scripture that's very familiar. Amen. I'm sure that you have read it or may have heard it preached time and time again to others. But I want to share this angle with you, if I may, just for a few moments. In this, the Bible, the Word of God, our scripture today is found in St. John, the 11th chapter, the 1st through the 11th verse. St. John, the 8th chapter, the 1st through the 11th verse. And there's two key verses that I will be taking my text from on today, if you will. But the scripture tells us in St. John, there's a story of a woman. This woman, the Bible tells us, she was caught in adultery. The scripture says, taken in adultery, which simply means caught. Verse 1 says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? They said, tempting him, that they might have an excuse to bring accusation against him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her, stooped down and wrote on the ground. They which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? He said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And I'm going to stop right there. Our scripture text this morning comes from a very familiar story or passage, and Jesus was up early taking care of business. He had to get away from people, both friends and foes. There are times when we have to steal away, just as Jesus did. We need some time alone with the Lord. We need some time to steal away, to be with ourselves and with our Creator. Now, whether Jesus was away in the temple praying, or whether he was just away spending some time with his Father, or gathering his own thoughts, the Bible says that he came early in the morning to get away, and he came and returned to the temple. Proverbs 8 and 17 tells us, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. I've come to find out that when you get up early and rise early in the morning and seek the face of the Lord, you're going to find him. Because he's up early, he's early, and he's about doing things early. He wants us to be about an early mindset and have an early mindset to get out and do those things that are required of him, or to seek his face, that we can get instructions before we start our day, before we go forth into our own lives and our daily plans. We should seek the Lord for direction, seek him for instruction. So many times the reason why individuals don't have a successful plan or a successful life is because they don't take the time out. I'm talking about God's people now. They allow the enemy to creep in, and the Bible says an idle mind is the devil's workshop. So times that we could be successful and make it, we're not, because we're not giving God the opportunity to lead us and to guide us. The Lord prepares us. It is in those moments of prayer and in the word where the Lord prepares us. It gets us ready for what's to come. He preps us. He makes us aware and prepares us. Storms and the tests and the struggles. You have someone on your job that may be giving you the blues. That prayer in the morning gets you ready. That word, that time with the Lord prepares you to be able to deal with those individuals on your job. Those negative attitudes, those nasty looks, those bad spirits. It prepares you for that. Verse 3, the word taken means to seize or capture physically. In the Greek, the word taken is lambano or lambani, to take aggressively or lay hold of. In the Hebrew, the word taken is lakak or laka, snatch, to get or to fetch. My mind goes to this particular story, how the scribes and the Pharisees in verse 3, how they said that she was taken in adultery. Verse 3 and 4, and then this is who she's taken in and caught in the very act of doing it. Now, a thought came to my mind. How is it that you're able to catch her in the very act? Either you was once one of her clients, if you will. Either you was once the people that she slept with or dealt with, for you to know her schedule and be able to catch her in her very act, or you just didn't have no life at all, and you didn't have no business at all, and you needed a quarter or a dime to go buy you some business because you took your time out to study this woman's schedule, where she would be at and who she would be with. If you notice in the scripture, it didn't say anything about the man or the men that she was with or had been with, but it speaks of her, and the scribes and Pharisees made it their their business to bring this woman to Christ, not just only to embarrass her, to put her on blast, but to try to catch Jesus and find reason to accuse him as well by him saying he was the Son of God. But here we find this woman, these men took the time out to find this woman and catch her in the midst of her act. And I thought about also maybe some of those men and scribes and Pharisees that caught her and took her in the act and caught her in the very act of it was some of the men that she told no. And they became her haters. How many of you have experienced telling somebody no? And because you told them no, now they have become your hater. And now they're doing what they can to try to tear you down or to embarrass you or to put your business out on Front Street. How many of us actually caught in the very act of doing wrong? How many of us have actually been caught in the very act of doing wrong? And then how many of us have done wrong but wasn't caught? Well, my brother and my sister, even though you may not have been caught in the act, and this person has been caught, your sin is just as great as that individual. The one that you want to point the finger at, the one that you want to blast, the one that you want to put on Front Street, the one that you want to tell their flaws, their businesses, pictures on Instagram and Facebook, the ones that you want to put their business out and unfold and unleash, unravel and dig back into their past history, go and search, and you're taking the time out to dig up dirt on this individual just to blast them and put them on Front Street because of something that you disagreed with them about in their life, or because you're jealous of their position and their anointing or their calling on their life. And so because of this, now they have become your enemy. And now you're lashing out at these individuals or this individual because of something that you disagreed with or something that you didn't like or something that they may have said that didn't settle with you right. But we're all human. We all have flaws. We all make mistakes. So Romans 3 and 23 tells us, for we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So because my sin is exposed or out of the open, does not give you the right or put you in a place to be a judge or the jury or the prosecutor or the condemner. Why are you pointing your finger at me and putting me on blast now and trying to make shame of my name and trying to embarrass me and trying to get people to turn against me? You reap what you sow, and your day is coming. The scripture lets us know that we are not supposed to put our mouths on God's people. We're not supposed to fight and lash out at God's people. I remember growing up as a young man in the Holiness Church. There was a rule, there was a discipline. There was a respect. When we saw the saints of God, they stood out because there was a distinct difference in the way they carried themselves. Their look was totally different and distinct from the world. The saints and the body of Christ was not trying to look like the world. The Bible says to come out from among them and be separate, which means you don't supposed to look like the world. Stop trying to conform. Be ye not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This simply tells me that there are so many people that are calling themselves Christians who have not been renewed in their mind. When we are renewed in our mind and transformed in our mind, in our spirit, in our soul, we then want to take on the attributes and the mindset of Christ Jesus. And everybody knows that Christ was separate and different from the world. You remember the story of Peter when Jesus was going before the judges and about to be crucified, how Peter was there in the court warming himself by the fire. There were others there. There was a young lady there and other people around the fire warming themselves. And Peter, because he walked with Christ for a period of time, whether it was short or long, when you walk with Christ, there's going to be something different about you. And so Peter, sitting there warming himself by the fire, one of those that was there in the crowd said, "You are one of them." Peter said, "No, I don't know the man. I have no dealings with, no connection with or anything." They said, "No, no. Yes, you know this man. You're connected with him. You're one of them." He said, "No," again. The girl said, the young woman said, "Yeah, you're one of them, because even your speech, the way you're talking, how you sound and the things you're saying, you sound like this man." The Bible lets us know that from that point, Peter said, "Okay, but let me fix that then, since I sound like him." And Peter went to cussing. He began to change the way he talked and his attitude and his speech and tried to change who he was, character of who he was, which it didn't work because he still was identified with Christ. So there was a distinction. And so today we have so many people that are calling themselves Christians, but living any kind of way. They're allowing any kind of thing. They're doing any type of thing, doing, sleeping around, smoking, drinking, living any kind of lifestyles. And they want this to be accepted of God. The Lord said in his word, he's a holy God and he wants a holy people. Be holy. He said, "I'm holy. You got to be holy." Holiness is a way of life. It's a way of life. It's a walk. It's a way of life. It's a lifestyle. I've gotten to the place to where I don't even want to be called a Christian when different ones ask me, "What are you?" or "What is your faith?" Even on application of forms and different things, I don't even want to identify as a Christian anymore. It was the Romans that called us Christians back then, those that were connected to Christ and looked like Christ because they acted like Jesus Christ. So the Romans called them and labeled them as Christians because they were Christ-like. It's gotten to the place where I don't even want to identify with that anymore. I call myself a believer. I say I'm a believer because people that are calling us Christians have just really utterly put that name, that word, or that title out there and really have brought shame to even being called a Christian because of the things they do and how they fight and carry on, how they live, how they want everything to be accepted. And they've gotten to the place to now we read the Word of God and we don't read the Word of God and asking the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, to give us inspiration, give us insight, give us revelation, to show us, to speak to us when it comes to his word. But we go off of feelings. We read a scripture. And because we feel a scripture is saying this, or we feel a scripture is saying that, that's what we go off of. Well, I feel that it's saying, I feel that the word is saying to me, or what the word of God is saying here is this. And you have so many leaders that are off, and they're leading the people off, because they're going off of feelings, and they're taking the word of God, and they're fixing it, adjusting it, if you will, to please them, to make them comfortable, to make them okay with how they're living and doing their brother or sister wrong or living any kind of way. My brother, my sister, it's more to it than just a bump. It's more to it than just a shout. It's more to it than just a kick in a book. Now, I remember growing up, when the saints of God would go forth in a dance. They were shouting because they had the victory. When the saints of God began to praise and magnify God, and when they would go forth in a shout, every believer, every saint of God that would shout, they had a unique shout, their own unique shout, whether it was given by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost or whether it was a dance that they had on their own. But it was a unique dance that they had. I'm talking about the believers now. I'm talking about the saints of God. There was a unique dance that they all had. Children, we would love to see and watch the saints of God go forth in the dance, because everybody had their own unique dance and unique style, the men and the women. And when they would shout and give God a praise and go forth in a dance, we could feel the presence of God in their feet, in their arms, in their motion, as they were praising God and going forth. We could feel the presence of the Lord, the move of the Holy Ghost, and then it would spring out. And they would hit, he would hit over here, then he would move and jump over there, and he would move and just jump all over the service, because the Holy Ghost would move because of the people of God shouting and giving the victory. And if you was going through something and you saw Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so dancing in the victory, that gave you hope. That gave you inspiration and hope to know that if they got the victory, God's going to give it to me too. And they would shout because the Holy Ghost would move. Now we find individuals, everybody, it's a competition now. Shouting has become a form of competition, a form of entertainment, to where you got to shuffle your feet, kick and swerve and dance and move to the side and kick, jump over to the left and jump to the right and cross your legs and twirl around. And dancing, shouting now has become a form of this entertainment. People sit back and watch others shout now to be entertained, and they egg them on and cheer them on. You get it, boy. You get it, sister. Go get your... But there's no spirit of God in it. There's no spirit of God in it. We've got to get back to what we know holiness is. The Bible tells us that we know the truth. And you have some that are denying the power of God. Let me get back to my scripture. Verses 4 and 5 says, but they used the law of Moses to try to trap Jesus and to find reasons to accuse him. Verses 6 and 7 lets us know that this, what he said to them now, Jesus Christ, what he said to them is a crowd husher, and the accuser quieter. And Jesus knows how to say, what to say, and when to say it. He quieted down those individuals who brought this woman, trying to find flaws and get him to find the same fault in her as they did. And Jesus knows how to quiet down the crowd. He knows how to shut the accuser's mouth. For he said to them, if there's anybody that among you right now that's without sin, you be the first one. You pick up a stone and you cast it at her. By him saying that, it gave everybody that was in the crowd, whether they were onlookers, whether they were one of the scribes, a Pharisee that was guilty of bringing her to Jesus, or just somebody who came to witness to see what he was going to say or to witness another stoning. Because, you know, the law of Moses back in the Bible days in the Old Testament, that was one of the punishment or sentences of death, was to be stoned to death. And so that was not something new. That was, but that was something very familiar to them, to stone someone to death. He asked them a question. When they could not answer the question, Jesus began to stoop down again and write in the sand again. And what I love about the Lord is he knows how to get the enemy off of your back. Those that are pointing the finger at you, those that have come up with lies or whether they're truths, those that have come up with accusations against you, trying to smudge your name, trying to belittle you, trying to bring you down to their level. They're jealous of your success. They're jealous of your growth, of your progress. What I've learned is one way to shut the enemy's mouth, or one way to make the enemy mad, is to be successful. As long as you're doing nothing, as long as you're wallowing in the same mud or in a different mud pot, mud hole as them, as long as you're on the same level or the same page as they are, everything's all right. But the moment you become successful and you begin to make it, and you set some ground rules, and you begin to progress, and you begin to set things in order, and you begin to prioritize, and you begin to cut folk off. If they're not going in the same direction as you, if they're not there to support you, you don't need them in your life. We all need some good support, a strong support system, someone to let us know that we can make it and we're going to make it, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of how dark it may be, no matter how thick the clouds may hang over. I don't care if the rain is coming down and big raindrops. I don't care if it's lightning or thundering. Just as long as you know that I got us a strong support system and I'm going to make it. Because I got somebody on my side. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. So here we find in verse 9, the scripture says that Jesus was left alone with this woman. And after they had a chance to think about what he said, the Bible says that they began to leave one by one. The eldest on down to the youngest, until there was no one there. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. If you take note, we find that in verse 3, the woman was set in his midst. And if you look at the word taken, as I shared earlier, it would mean aggressively grabbed. They aggressively grabbed her. They snatched her up from where she was. And you can just imagine them being judge and jury within their own mind and being very aggressive and being very nasty with her, dragging her and slinging her and shoving her and pulling on her and tugging at her and pushing her and shoving her until they got to Christ. And then when they got this woman there in the midst of Christ, where Christ was, the Bible says, I can imagine them just saying, hip, and shoving her to the ground and then bringing up what she was committed or caught in to Jesus and bringing it to his attention. But here she is in the dirt. They set her in the midst. And then we find now in verse 9, when Jesus was left alone with the woman, the Bible said that now she's standing. And I can just imagine, while she was there and Jesus and these people were talking, showing her flaws, her faults, her crime, her sin, just by her being in the presence of the Lord, it brought about a change from being thrown to the ground or set in the midst of Jesus to now standing. Jesus hadn't said a word to her yet. He simply talked to those around her. But because of her being there in his presence and in his midst, I could just imagine it doing something to her spirit man, from shame and guilt, embarrassment, humility, and just being shoved down. Now she's able to stand, yet having a humble spirit, but knowing that I'm in the presence of the Son of God. No doubt the change took place just from being in the presence of the Lord. Conversation here in verse 10 and 11 where the woman looks around. Jesus says to her, "Where are those that accused you? And hath no man condemned thee?" He said, "No man, my Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. But go now and sin no more." Don't you just love a God like that? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, loving us so much. He loved her so much. He said, "I'm not coming to condemn you, my daughter, but I'm coming to bring you life." Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And all those that thought they had reason and found just cause to stone you to death because of your sin, there was not a one of them in the crowd that could pick up a stone and stone you because they all had sinned. It was just that your sin happened to be exposed. But just because your sin was exposed and you were caught in the midst or taken in it or caught in the midst of it, that does not mean that they're excused and give them the right to condemn you and stone you to death because their sins are hidden." And no doubt, like I said before, some of those men were some of the ones that was with her on prior occasions. But don't you just love the Lord, how he knows how to come in and fix the situation and turn things around in your life? If Christ Jesus, the only begotten of the Father, has forgiven you or forgiven us and has given us the recipe to forgiveness. When we fall short now, he's given us a recipe for forgiveness when we fall short. Then what man or woman is bigger than Jesus Christ? 1 John 1:1-10, read it when you have a chance, but verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Galatians 6:1-2 says, "Brethren," and this one I love, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Verse 2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And as I look at this particular chapter and verse in Galatians, it says, if your brother is overtaken in a fault, if your brother has been caught, taken, aggressively, took hold of, if your brother has found himself in a place that he should not be in, it says, "You which are spiritual, restore him." And so, as I look at this and I look around at society and what's going on and what's been taking place in the body of Christ, I'm noticing that there are not many individuals that are spiritual. When you can buffet and box and destroy and tear down your brother and your sister, that's not restoring them. He said restore them. Restore them, which means go to them in love, in the spirit of meekness and love, and restore them. Build them back up again. The strength that they need, be their strength. Be their encourager. Be their uplifter. So come on, brother. Come on, sister. Let's pray. I got you. You're not going to succumb to this. You're not going under because of this. You're not going to die because I'm not going to allow the enemy to snuff you out because of this. You're going to get back up and continue on your walk with God. Continue on the work that the Lord has given for you to do. We need more spiritual individuals as opposed to those individuals who are finding themselves, who are walking around in feelings, trying to find fault and flaws. I want to encourage you today, my brother and sister, keep your hand in God's hand, knowing that all things are working for the good to them that love him. Keep on trusting him, regardless of what it looks like or what it may appear to be. Keep trusting in the Lord. God will come through for you. We honor the Lord today for this opportunity again, E-Water Radio Show. We thank you, God, for this opportunity. God has blessed him to be able to be a blessing to the people. And all you have to do is trust in God. Your day and your time is coming. God has blessings in store for you, my brother, my sister, but you got to keep your hand in God's hand. Stay focused and stay ready. God's got the answer for you. Regardless of what it may look like and what it may seem like, God's got the answer for you. Continue to trust him and lean on him and depend on him. Watch him work it out for you. We're going to have a word of prayer. Then I will open up with these last few minutes the line in case anyone have a prayer request. And we'll go to God in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to come forth. We thank you for those that have tuned in to listen, God. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share your word. Amen. The word of God on today. For we need your word on today. The unadulterated word of God we need on today. And we're thanking you right now. We're asking you to bless your people everywhere according to your word. In the mighty name of Jesus. Open doors for your people. Make ways for your people. You know the needs. You know the heart's desires, oh God. Touch and heal. Touch and deliver. Touch and set free. According to your word, oh God, we magnify and we glorify your name because your name is worthy to be praised. We seek none other. We look to none other. We call on none other but the name of Jesus. You said in your word that there's healing in your name, there's power in your name, there's deliverance in your name, and we're thankful today for it. We give your name the glory, we give your name the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Everyone say thank God. Amen. At this time, if there's anyone who would like to have a prayer request or anything they would like to add to or share or any question they might have, amen, we feel free to do so at this time. God bless you. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We know that God is able today. He's able to feel, heal, and to supply your very needs. And all we have to do today is trust him. Amen. 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 While I'm giving those a chance, if anybody want to have anything to say today, amen, or any prayer request, amen, you can reach us at www.blogtalkradio.com/eWaterRadio. Amen. For updates, ewaterradio.org/covenant-thinking. Our Instagram is www.instagram.com/covenant-thinking. Our Facebook is www.facebook.com/covenant-thinking. And our TikTok is tiktok.com/@covenant. You can reach us every Sunday from 12 to 1 p.m. Pacific time, 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I encourage you to share, so tell someone, encourage them to tune in with us and join us as we share the Word of God and as we petition God for our desires and our needs. He's a God that answers prayer. Oh, yeah, He's a God that answers prayer. All you have to do is trust and believe in Him. Amen. He will answer prayer. Saints used to sing, if you call on Jesus, He will answer prayer. You've got to call on Him today. Give it to Him and watch Him work it out for you. Turn it over to Jesus and watch Him fix it. Regardless of what it may be or what it is, you can do it today. Be like this woman, amen, as she stood in the presence of the Lord and let the change take place in your life, just being in His presence. And then when He spoke to her, all was well. He said, I don't condemn you, and neither do your condemners are gone, and I don't condemn you either. Let's not be like the scribes and the Pharisees. Put the stone down. On this week, as you go forth on this week, let that ring in your mind and in your spirit. Put the stone down. Before you chunk the stone and throw the stone to condemn someone and stone someone because you have already convicted them and you've already found them guilty in your mind, before you throw that stone at them, put the stone down. And just remember that one day your time is going to come and the tables will be turned. Yes, the tables will be turned. And if you're not careful, the same stones that you chunked at someone, they would throw them right back at you. And just as you want everyone to find grace and want the Lord to have mercy and grace upon you, you must show that grace and that mercy as well. You must show that grace and that mercy and allow the Lord to minister and to speak to your heart. Stop being so quick and ready to condemn someone. Stop being so ready and so quick to throw someone under the bus. But allow the mercy of the Lord to kick in. Yes, folk have done us wrong, mistreated us, lied on us, took advantage of us. We say we love the Lord. We've got to work on ourselves. Yes, I'm talking to myself as well, that we've got to work on ourselves and let the love of Christ abide. You can love someone and not be around them. How many of you have friends that are dear to you, family members that you love and that are dear to you, but you don't talk to them every day? That doesn't change your relationship with them because you don't talk to them every day. You still love them. And when you see them, the love is just as if they never was out of your presence. But we've got to learn to trust God. We've got to learn to love the Lord. We've got to learn to turn to Him and allow Him to do it. Our cell phone number to call in, if you want to call by cell phone to the station, is 323-642-1757. That's 323-642-1757. On next week, we will not be on the air on next week. And we will not be on the third Sunday. Amen. On next Sunday is, of course, you know, Super Bowl Sunday. And we will not be on next Sunday due to the Super Bowl that will be on. Amen. And then third Sundays, someone else, another program will be on. So I look forward to seeing you and talking to you again, amen, on the fourth Sunday of this month. And then if there's a fifth Sunday of the following month, I know there's not one on this month, but a fifth Sunday on the following month, Amen. I'll see you then. But we're looking forward to seeing you on the fourth Sunday of this month. Go with God. Go with God and let the Lord lead and direct you. Let the Lord shield and protect you. Don't be afraid or ashamed or too busy to take the time out. Talk to the Lord and ask him for direction and leading and guidance. Amen. If we did that more often, there would really be less people hurt in the church. If we would simply ask the Lord for leading and guidance, if we would allow him to work with us and to talk with us and deal with us and allow him the space and the place. Like I said before, he knows what to say, how to say, and when to say. We just got to be willing to allow him to say, let no man steal your crown. We're looking to Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith, and we're trusting in him and depending on him. And we're leaning on him. We're grateful for God's goodness on today. Amen. For how he has blessed us. Amen. This weather, he's keeping us. So many things have taken place. Let us continue to pray for our country and for the leadership of our country. The Bible tells us to pray for the leaders of our country. And let us continue to pray for our country and for the war-torn lands. Amen. For the Lord to touch the minds of the people. Amen. Touch the minds of the people. The scripture says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And when a nation turns their back on the Lord, when a nation follows after other gods and other idols and worships other gods and other idols and take on other ways of living and things and conform to other ways of people doing things and turn from God, it opens the door for the adversary to come in. And he has come in to this country. He didn't creep in. He walked in because we opened the door, because we turned our back on God. We've allowed all this foolishness and sin to enter in. And we would rather believe a lie and live raggedy, sinful lives as opposed to trusting God and asking God, help me to live a godly life. Help me to please you. We used to pray when we would pray growing up. We used to pray that, Lord, give me the strength. Help me to please you, Lord. I desire to please you. It is my desire to please you, Lord, but I need your help. Help me to please you, O God. Teach me how to go in and out among your people. And he'll do just that and have done just that. For he's faithful and he's just. My brother and my sister, don't give up on God, because he won't give up on you. Don't give up on the Lord. Amen. But put them stones down. A lot of times we're hindered in our blessings, and we hold up our blessings and our breakthroughs, and it's because we have stones that we want to chunk at somebody. We have stones that we've been carrying around, and we're weighted down. The Bible tells us to lay aside every weight and the sin. Lay aside every weight and the sin. And we are not having sinned yet because we haven't threw the stone, but we're walking around with these stones on us, and they become weights to us. And we're weighted down with these stones, waiting for an opportunity to be able to throw them at someone, waiting for an opportunity to be able to cast them at somebody. Picking and fault. But before you cast that stone at anyone, put your stone down, because you need to go back and look in the mirror. But you need to do a self-evaluation and take a look at yourself, amen, and see for yourself how you've been living in this world. Take a good look at yourself and see how you've been living in the world yourself, amen. Look at the flaws and the mistakes and the sins that's in your world. Well, some people may say, well, I don't have no sin in my life. I don't have, well, you sin just then, but now you're, because you're self-righteous. You do not know that's a sin, to be self-righteous. You're thinking more of yourself, the scripture says. Well, it's not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Amen. To keep ourselves grounded, keep our feet on the ground, keep ourselves level and grounded. And you have so many individuals now who are high-minded and thinking more highly of themselves than they ought to think. And because of that, they become self-righteous, and they feel like they're untouchable. And when you come to the place where you feel like you're untouchable and you're so self-righteous and caught up into yourself, so to the point to where you can't be touched, then that's when the Lord will have to do some things to you. If you don't humble yourself, the Lord will do that. So that's what the scripture tells us, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of the Lord. And in due season, he will exalt us. We've got to humble ourselves, brothers and sisters. We've got to humble ourselves. Because if the Lord does it, it's going to hurt. And it's not going to feel the way we want it to feel and come out the way we want it to be. So he gives us an opportunity to humble ourselves. Humble yourself. Don't ask the Lord to humble you. Humble yourself. And then the Lord will come in and do what needs to be done. The God of peace will come in. He said, told us in his word, for us to sanctify ourselves. Set aside ourselves. Set ourselves apart and aside. Sanctify yourselves. And he said, and the God of peace will come in and he will do the rest. And he will sanctify you wholly. But we got to sanctify ourselves. Give it to the Lord on today. Allow him to work it out for you. Allow him to bless you and to move in your behalf. Amen. God is good. We serve an awesome and mighty good God. We serve a God that cannot fail. We serve a God that sits high and looks low. And my mind goes back to an evangelist that used to come through our church when we were kids growing up, amen, in the city of Santa Monica at the New Light Church of God in Christ under the leadership of the late Mother Bishop B.R. Benbow and Mother Rachel L. Benbow. And there was an evangelist that would come through in our January revivals. We would have January revivals. And one of the evangelists that would come through was an evangelist by the name of Evangelist Earl Carter. And he could preach and tell a story like no other. And Evangelist Carter told him to he would say when he would preach, he said, the Lord sees you. Yeah, the Lord see you. He said, if the Lord can see a black ant on a black rock in the middle of the darkest night, the Lord sees you. He knows where you are. The Lord can see a black ant sitting on top of a black rock in the middle of the darkest night. The Lord see you. I want to encourage you today to know that the Lord sees you. He knows right where you are. He knows how to get to you. And he knows what you need. Give it to the Lord today. Take it to the Lord in prayer. He's on the main line. You just got to call him up. I encourage you today to tune back in with us again on the fourth Sunday. We thank you for listening to Covenant Thinking here on the eWater Radio Show. Blessings to each and every one of you as you go forth on this week. Enjoy yourselves. Be safe in the Lord and enjoy the Super Bowl, whatever team you have, or if it's not your team, then you just want to enjoy. Enjoy yourselves. Be blessed of the Lord. God bless you, and may the Lord richly keep you, is my prayer.
Oh, mighty God. Oh.